Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Actually, it's Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. He'll be back tomorrow. MichaelSavage.com for the latest headlines and sign up for the Savage newsletter. And don't forget Michael's book, Scorched Earth, What Trump Must Do. What Trump Must Do to Remake America, to Make America Great Again. And don't forget the book, Teddy and Me. It's a wonderful one by Michael. So Brian Sussman in out here on the left coast. Thanks for joining us. Where do we want to go with this? Well, let's go to this story. It's Bernie's fault. It's WikiLeaks' fault. It's Russia's fault. It's Comey's fault. It's the alt-right media's fault. It's the fake news' fault. It's the voting machine's fault. It's Jill Stein's fault. It's the Electoral College's fault. Come on, you've heard it all by now, right? You've heard all of that and more. How about the DNC just ran an expensive, old-school campaign with an unappealing candidate who didn't articulate an endearing message? How about that for starters? How about people look at what's happening along that southern border and they cringe? Oh, they're not hateful individuals. They're not bigots. They're not phobic. They look at the border and they're terrified. They look at what is happening in their cities and in their states and they're terrified. They look at these homegrown extremists here in the United States and they're terrified. They look at people coming to this country who could give a rat's rear end about assimilation, and they're terrified. That's what we saw. Hillary didn't address that. They look at their manufacturing jobs. They look at their mining jobs. They look at their logging jobs. There are no jobs. Hillary didn't address that either. But let's talk for a moment about the stuff that has made Savage. You know, I've been listening to Michael Savage since the mid-90s. I broadcast on KSFO in San Francisco, his flagship station. It's the station he started on. He built that station. Kind of like the song, We Built This City on Rock and Roll. Well, this city is the city they're talking about in that song, but he built this station in the city of rock and roll. And let's just say this, like seeds in a garden, refugees are being planted in cities and towns all across America, and people don't like it. It's not that they hate the refugees. It's just the other stuff that some of these refugees are associated with. Borders, language, culture, my friends. It all comes back to borders, language, culture. Those were the pillars of Trump's campaign. Those are the very pillars of everything Savage has been talking about since I started listening to him in the mid-90s here in San Francisco. But let's talk about these refugees, shall we? They're being placed in small cities and towns all over America. Places like Twin Falls, Idaho. Places like Stone Mountain, Georgia. Places like Rutland, Vermont. No input from the local communities. They're just placed there. Now, I know how it works in the Savage Nation. Many of you are going to want to talk. You've got your own stories to share. And you'll be able to affirm and confirm much of what I'm talking about. So the number is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. But once the residents find out about the plan, it's too late to stop it or even ask any questions. And of course, those who do ask questions are bigots or xenophobes who hate refugees, right? Twin Falls, Idaho. You've heard the story from up that way. I heard it before it came a story. You heard the story about the three refugee boys raping a five-year-old special needs girl in an apartment complex. It was witnessed by a person in the complex, and the oldest boy amongst these refugees actually filmed the assault on his cell phone, so to speak. So there's no lack of evidence here. But I heard about this before it became a national news story. A friend of mine had moved from California to Twin Falls. He was living in that very same complex for a period of time. When he came back to California, he said, "You wouldn't believe what I saw up in Twin Falls. I lived in this apartment complex. It was filled with refugees from Iraq and Sudan." And he said it was very clear that everybody was on welfare. The only ones that ventured out of the houses were the women to go to the stores. It was the women raising the kids. The men always stayed inside, keeping themselves. And it seemed to my friend that these men had two, three, four, or even five wives. Who, upon, you know, when asked, would say, well, this is my cousin. This is my... And he said that he saw the young men in that apartment complex terrorizing anybody who wasn't Muslim. I mean, this was my friend's story to me when he came back from Twin Falls. So when we had the story of the three refugee boys molesting a five-year-old special needs girl in an apartment complex, immediately he called me up. He said, that was the same apartment complex. And I put him on the radio in San Francisco. We talked about it. But we've been getting up to 10,000 Somalia refugees alone since the 90s, and we started this refugee program under Carter in the 80s. The problem is we're vetting them wrong. The vetting that's going on currently is absolute insanity. We're importing people into this country who have values antithetical to American values. They're antithetical to American values. They don't care about the red, white, and blue. They don't care about life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. They don't care about the Constitution. I mean, there's a documentary, very famous documentary, and I saw it a couple months ago. Amy Horowitz, I believe is her name, or maybe it's a he. A.M.I. Horowitz. Did a documentary in Minneapolis, a city with a huge Somali Muslim population. Almost every Muslim the filmmaker spoke to said Sharia law should be supreme over the U.S. Constitution. Those aren't the type of people we should be bringing into this country. We want the people like my grandparents who came here and said, I want to be an American. I want to be an American so bad I'm not even going to let my kids speak our native tongue. They're going to learn English. We're going to be Americans. But here's the problem. Look at France. Look at Belgium. Look at Sweden. Look at many places around the world. Muslim immigration gangs running the streets. I mean, in Malmo, Sweden, Muslim immigration gangs run the city. Medical personnel won't even respond to emergency calls without police protection. And this all started under a Carter administration scheme. The Refugee Administrations Program, it's called. And since then, the United States has admitted hundreds of thousands of aliens. Now, just to show you how benevolent we are, and maybe one might say what big suckers we are with this immigration, the U.S. took in 2/3 of the world's refugees resettled in 2014 alone. I'm going to repeat that. In 2014 alone, the United States took in 2/3 of the world's refugees. Second place country, Canada, they took in 10%. From Iraq alone, the number is 120,000 since 2007. So why am I pointing that out? I think it's ridiculous. Why would we be taking anybody from Iraq? Now, listen to me before you jump to conclusions. We lost thousands of American lives fighting in that country. We spent hundreds of billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, to make Iraq supposedly livable. Boy, do we suck. We spent all that money, obviously it didn't work, so we have to allow them to come here now? I thought we were making the country great for them. We spent money, we spent blood, treasure, American lives, and we're importing them to come live here? I thought we were making it good for them to live there. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe you have a different opinion. Give me a call, 855-400-7282. But where does this all begin? And when's it all going to end? I'll tell you what's going to end in just a moment. But I'll tell you where it begins with the United Nations. The United Nations High Commissioner on Refugees working in tandem with our ridiculous State Department, which resettles the refugees throughout the United States with the assistance of hugely, lavishly, bigly compensated contractors, many of them working for church groups, without any consultation with the states in which Washington plants these assimilation-resistant imports, if I may. But the responsibility for vetting the immigrants, that's the Department of Homeland Security. Now, we'll talk about the vetting process because I think it's fascinating. The vetting we do is ridiculous. A background check is only as good as the available information one has. And when it comes to the people from Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and Somalia and Sudan, we don't have a lot to go on. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, we do a great job with this. Oh, we know how to vet. Oh, yes. Well, the problem is we're vetting for the wrong thing. We're vetting for terrorism. What we should be vetting for is one's acceptance or rejection of Sharia law. Because Sharia law is Islam's framework, societal framework, and their legal code. And we don't vet for Sharia. I told you about that documentary in Minneapolis. The filmmaker asks all these Somalis in Minneapolis, what do you think of Sharia versus the Constitution? Oh, Sharia, Sharia, I don't care about the Constitution, I care about Sharia. Muslims who believe in classical Sharia, folks, we would say, well, what about freedom of religion in this country? It has nothing to do with religion. They believe in Sharia. And Sharia rejects American democracy. Sharia rejects the belief that we have in this country that people have a right to govern themselves. Sharia believes that people are, well, the people are subjects, not citizens. Sharia believes that people are powerless to question, much less change, Allah's law. Sharia discriminates openly against women and non-Muslims. Now, they would tell you that it's not discrimination, but I'm telling you from looking through the American lens, it's discrimination. It licenses wars of aggression against the infidel. This is all Sharia. We should be vetting for one's belief in Sharia. Instead, we're vetting for terrorism. So we're vetting for the wrong thing. We're ignoring all the dynamics of jihadism. Because Sharia leads to jihad. We're screwing up. Now, why am I hopeful? I'm hopeful because I'm looking at the guy that Donald Trump has nominated for Homeland Security. And at the end of the day, Homeland Security is in charge of the vetting. This dude is a righteous man. The former head of the U.S. Southern Command. General John Kelly, another Marine. This is the guy that was responsible for managing security threats posed by criminal drug networks based in South and Central America. He also oversaw Gitmo, by the way. This is a guy who did 40 years in the Marine Corps. This is a guy who has testified before Congress on numerous occasions about the, quote, relative ease with which human smugglers moved tens of thousands of people to our nation's doorstep. He also cautioned Congress that, quote, these smuggling routes are potentially vulnerable to our homeland. And he also said terrorist organizations could seek to leverage those same smuggling routes to move operatives with intent to cause grave harm to our citizens or even bring weapons of mass destruction to the United States. This is the type of guy we need at the helm of Homeland Security. So I remain hopeful. But how about you? 855-400-SAVAGE. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage. Michael's back tomorrow. Don't forget MichaelSavage.com, all the latest news there. Plus, very easy to purchase a copy of his book, Scorched Earth, or Teddy and Me would be another idea. So we were just talking about this refugee resettlement program, this insane Muslim refugee resettlement program we have here in the United States, bringing people into this country who, by and large, have no interest in assimilation, who look at the Constitution as being inferior to Sharia law, and they're being inserted without anybody's thumbs up or thumbs down into, generally speaking, white Christian towns across America. Like, for example, Twin Falls, Idaho. And that's resulted in disaster. John's calling from KBOI in Idaho. John, thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I live about 2 hours from Twin Falls, and it's amazing how quickly that story disappeared from our newscasts. And when it first came out, it became almost like a social media pariah where the initial knee-jerk response was, these were not Muslim refugees. It didn't happen the way it's being announced. And then it just went away. And it's almost, you know, our newscast doesn't seem to be as liberal as California. I just came back from Northern California, being down there for a while. But apparently it is, because it's amazing how you won't hear about that story.
Yeah, it is amazing, but it's very real. You had three refugee boys raping a five-year-old special needs girl, and there were witnesses, there's video, there's everything, and you're right. For whatever reason, the authorities up there wanted to bury the story, and they probably, you know, everything's about fake news right now, John, right? Fake news this, fake news that. It was probably initially being described as, oh, that's a fake news story. And in fact, now that I think about it, many said, well, it is fake news because all of you rednecks are saying that these boys are Syrians. They're not Syrians. They're Iraqis or maybe Sudanese. But remember, everybody initially said they were Syrians. And so because they were wrong, people said, well, see, you guys didn't have the story right. Oh, no, we had the story right. All you have to do is, instead of, you know, the ethnicity, just bring in the religion, Islam.
There's such a... You can't mention anything about Islam without...
No!
Complete, being labeled racist, being labeled...
Yeah, well, now you're a xenophobe. You bring up Islam. What's your problem with Islam? What's your problem with the religion of peace, buddy? I thought you're an American. I thought you're for freedom of religion. But see, it's beyond that. It's this belief system that many are bringing into this country that does not align with our values, correct?
Correct. And you mentioned the women, you know, unable, you know, and even in places like Iran and such, you read stories, unable to even be in the same room as a single man. Well, they have to have their own swimming pools if they're single that don't allow the opposite sex to keep their heads covered. Where's the global outcry for this? If a woman in America...
I'm with you. John, I am absolutely with you. I appreciate you expressing your opinions here on the Savage Nation. As always, Brian Sussman, proud to be filling in for Dr. Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage. Mike's back tomorrow behind the microphone. In the meantime, I'm here, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you. The phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. We'll get to your calls in just 1 second. We're going to check some of the other news going on around the country, and much of that you can get at michaelsavage.com. But this is quite a headline. Iran warns of World War III. If Trump revamps that nuclear deal, which was just the stupidest of deals. So we'll get to that in just a moment. In the meantime, we were talking about, in keeping with the theme of borders, language, culture. I'm sure someone on the left would say, that's fake news. No, it's very real news. It's one of the reasons why Donald Trump won this election bigly. But people are concerned, and you look at many of those who are coming to this country as refugees, and you scratch your head and say, listen, I'm all for, you know, those who want to get to this country legally and want to get to this country because they want to bleed red, white, and blue, and they're for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and they think the Constitution is awesome. But for those who come to this country and basically want to turn our country into what theirs was or theirs is, you know, the country they came from, you know, those 57 religion of peace countries, they weren't always religion of peace countries. They were turned over time. In many cases, through the womb. You know, they were leveraging the womb. This is a very long-suffering ideology, and it is. It's just that. Some would say it's a religion. Sure, it's a religion. But there's an ideology attached to that. It's called Sharia, and it's not compliant with American values. It's just not. Do I sound like a hater as I'm saying this? No. Are there Muslims who come to this country and say, screw Sharia, I love America. I want to come here. I want to raise my kids. I want to make money. I want to participate. Yeah, the Constitution. I like the Constitution. Yes, there are many. But on the other hand, there are many we're allowing into this country who don't buy any of that. And that's what we're talking about in countries throughout, small towns throughout America. These refugees are being inserted. The townspeople have nothing to say about it. The states have nothing to say about it. Case in point. Here's Bob. Bob's listening online via KSFO.com, as many do. Bob, let's talk about your small Wisconsin town. What's going on? Thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. The population of Hudson, Wisconsin is 13,000 people, and our little once-a-week liberal newspaper informed us we've been selected to receive 21 Syrian refugees, which the newspaper fully assured us have all been properly vetted by the U.S. government. I found it interesting that the article also mentioned that the reason our little town was selected is that there apparently is already one Syrian refugee here, and based on that one Syrian acre, they've now decided to send in 21 more.
Sure, he needs friends, he needs colleagues, or maybe he needs co-conspirators, I don't know.
Yeah, the newspaper indicated that they were looking for a wide variety of charitable resources to provide housing and transportation, jobs, and a lot of other things for these 21 incoming. I have no idea how they're going to support themselves. If one wants to see how well Muslims integrate into American society, all you need to do is drive 40 miles west of here to Minneapolis and take a look at how well the literally tens and tens of thousands of Somalis have merged into American society.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out all that well. Just ask the honest people, in Minnesota. The problem is, if you bring this up and you speak openly and honestly about this, Bob, as you know, you're branded a hater.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate your call of the Savage Nation. No, this is what we're up against, folks. You sound like you're deemed a hater, when in fact you're just a truth teller. And again, the American government is in charge of vetting these people. I get that. But we're asking the wrong questions. We're vetting them to see if they have terrorist ties, not to see how deeply they believe in Sharia versus the Constitution of the United States. That's the defining difference. And when I look at the guy that Donald Trump has selected to replace Barack Obama's Department of Homeland Security chief, that Johnson guy, who has no business in that department, we've got a Marine general who's been talking about this immigration problem through our southern border for years, 4 years. Other stories in the news. Iran warns of World War III if Trump prevails with this, if Trump revamps, I should say, this nuclear pact. And all along the campaign trail, what has he done? He's been talking about this deal we cut with Iran, which is absolute insanity. It's one of the worst deals ever. Ever. And to know that we're not curtailing them from ever, ever, ever building a nuclear weapon again is just untrue. What we're doing is we're allowing them to develop nuclear weapons, but it's just out there in the distance. They're not dialing down their nuclear program. And the way it works is if we suspect something fishy is going on, who do we have to contact in order to conduct an inspection? We have to contact Iran. And then what will Iran do? Well, it will give us so many days before the inspection takes place, and they will, of course, be the monitors of the inspection. They'll lead us through the inspection process. So they'll have plenty of time to clean things up, put things away, and then, of course, they will lead us. Oh, you can go right down this door. Oh, take this tunnel right over here. Hey, I think I see some tunnels over there. No, you don't. That's your imagination. Please, come with us this way. What a crock. Okay, you want a crock? I got a crock for you. Have I got a crock for you? Reindeer. 'Tis the season, after all. I like what Trump's saying on global warming. And I speak to you now as the former television meteorologist. That was my other life. But I remain active in the trade because I just love weather. I like how Trump's keeping an open mind to human-caused global warming, because I think we all should, because I believe we should follow the truth wherever it leads. I'm always keeping an open mind. I've done a lot of research. I'm certainly not convinced at this point in time, but I'm always keeping an open mind. How about this? We're told now because of global warming, over the past 16 years, reindeer are shrinking. Not the number of reindeer, the size of the reindeer. They say they're shrinking because of global warming. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Meanie, me. Reindeer are shrinking. One of the icons of Christmas is now shrinking. I wonder how Santa's doing. Is global warming causing him to lose a few LBs? Just curious. By the way, there's also a story in the news. It has to do with, let me see, I think it's on michaelsavage.com as well. There it is. Massive ancient civilization lies frozen beneath the Arctic ice. Okay, so if that's the case, well, wouldn't that tell you that the Earth was much warmer at one point in time? Oh, wait. Okay, if that's too much for you, how about this? If I sent you up to the Arctic Circle on the frozen tundra, I sent you up to the Arctic Circle, frozen tundra, and let's say you're just like knee-deep in snow, that part of the tundra. Maybe it's springtime. Okay, let's take it to spring. The snow's gone. Now you're just on the pristine tundra. And I gave you a shovel and said, start digging. I got news for you. You could go down 6 to 10 feet, and suddenly, my God, what is this? It's a tusk. You start digging into fully preserved woolly mammoth. You start digging into fully preserved, or, I mean, the body's there, complete with eyeballs, teeth, skin, the whole schmear. Okay, it's all right there for you. You'd find camels. You would find tigers, lions, bears, oh my. It's all up there. Just start digging through the tundra, and in certain locations, you will find this stuff. Very well preserved, given the fact that these animals have been dead for thousands of years. So what does that tell you? Doesn't it tell you that at some point in time, the Earth was much warmer than it is now? How else would these animals survived? This was their habitat in those very northern latitudes. How could that be unless the Earth was warmer? So what happened since then? See, folks, the climate of the Earth is always changing. It's always changing. Other stories in the news as we peruse michaelsavage.com and then some. The New York Times. They hired that reporter who was outed via WikiLeaks. You know, the reporter who sent stories to Clinton's staffers for approval. I love WikiLeaks. I don't care who hacked into the DNC emails. I love it. Shows how corrupt an organization the DNC is. Glenn Thrush. Oh, yes. Huffington Post reported Monday, we're thrilled Glenn Rush is joining the Times. Glenn Rush. Or I should say Thrush. Glenn Thrush. In one email to Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, Thrush chose to describe himself as a hack. Now, in the journalistic business, a hack is like a sellout. It's a shill. Okay, I agree I'm a hack. I agree I'm a sellout. I agree I'm a shill. I'm helping the campaign. Quote, no worries, because I have become a hack, and I will send you the whole section that pertains to you. Thrush wrote to Podesta in an April 25, 2015 email. Please don't share or tell anyone I did this. Tell me if I effed up anything. Thrush's email included 5 paragraphs of a story pertaining to Podesta, and Podesta replied to Thrush telling him there were no problems with the writing. And those paragraphs appeared in a May story, quote, Hillary's Big Money Dilemma. A hack. Hired by the Times. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how glorious. You know what else I learned? I'm still looking through the WikiLeaks emails because I find them fascinating. And one of the emails that I so enjoy that I saw this weekend had to do with the chairman of Google's parent company, Alphabet. Eric Schmidt is the guy's name. Big, huge power player who supposedly is going to be meeting with Trump this Wednesday. Trump's bringing in all these titans from the Silicon Valley to meet with him. Don't know what he's going to say, but he's bringing them in. I have a feeling that Trump is playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers, but nonetheless, I digress, as I often do when I'm behind the mic on the Savage Nation. the point is, Eric Schmidt, we know from a WikiLeaks email, he was present with Hillary on the night of the election. So he's with Team Hillary as they're watching the results come in. Now, I happen to be with Team Savage that night. I was with Michael Savage, my co-host on KSFO, Katie Green, and our producer, Sherry Yee. We were with Michael Savage and many of his friends that night. It was just a delightful evening in San Francisco. So we're there. Eric Schmidt is with Hillary and her team watching the election results. And it's noted that he had on his jacket lapel a little identifying button that said staff. So here you go. One of the most influential, truly, Google, very influential company. They have many properties that influence social media greatly. Eric Schmidt, noted as staff for Team Clinton on the night of the election. So what do you think about these stories? Let's get to your comments next. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. By the way, I've got a copy of his book, Scorched Earth, in my hot little hands, and it remains a great read. And I sure hope Trump is reading it, because it does outline a plan to help make America great again. Meantime, we've been juggling a lot of balls here in the Savage Nation. One of them has to do with our immigration program, our refugee program more specifically, and how we're vetting for the wrong things. We're vetting for terrorism. We should be vetting for one's adherence to Sharia. Sharia. Otherwise, we're in a heap of trouble. Mike's checking in from Pennsylvania, WSBA. Mike, thanks for joining us on this, the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for having me on the show. I've read Scorched Earth, fabulous book. It's almost like listening to the show sitting in your couch here.
It's true.
You were right on with the global warming assessment. And
I read it. Yeah, how's that? Hey, Mike, how's that global warming working out for you in Pennsylvania right now?
Well, we're pretty covered. We're shoveling quite a bit, quite frankly. Yeah, I say that every winter. It's like, wow, more global warming on my front. So, the buried animals, you know, the woolly bears and the lions and the tigers, oh my. It's like, oh yeah. Somebody's got to figure this out someday. But, I read a situation way back, I believe when bin Laden was still around bothering us, that in Dearborn, Michigan has become very saturated with Muslim communities taking over. There's signs, you know, there's Muslim signs that we can't read. We don't know what they're telling us, but you drive by and they're flying flags that are not our American flags.
Right.
And a well-known mall in the Toledo, Ohio area, and some Best Buys and Circuit Cities and stuff were targeted with many, many, many purchases of computers and electronic equipment, purchased with stolen credit cards, marshaled down to the state of Florida, and then shipped overseas to the bin Laden crew back when that was a big terrorist threat. And it's like, wow, you put this all together with the fact that they don't want to mix in with us. They don't want to mix in at all. They just want to come in, do their dirty work, and that's all they're interested in.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. We have a big auto auction here in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's in a place called Fremont, which is it's a high percentage of refugees who have come into this country. And there's this auto auction, and you see people of that persuasion purchasing, my friends who are in the auto biz tell me all the time, purchasing trucks, large quantities of trucks, which they then ship overseas. Have you ever seen all of the trucks that ISIS is driving? Those are really nice, mostly Toyotas and a few other vehicles mixed in, other manufacturers. But most of those were sold originally here in the United States of America. There's a pipeline to get them their equipment, and believe it or not, it starts over here. Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. He's off today, much needed day off. He's back tomorrow, and I'll be listening along with you. In the meantime, it's not too late. Great holiday gifts. Scorched Earth, Savage's book. Restoring the Country After Obama is the subtitle. Hopefully Team Trump has read it. Teddy and Me, a feel-good book about the dog Teddy, who, yes, I have met. I've dined with Teddy before. So those are two opportunities. Just go to michaelsavage.com for all the latest there. Got a lot of great sound that the guys who produced the Savage Nation put together for me. And I've got a lot of great callers. A lot of great callers. Which is what you expect from the Savage Nation. Thinking people who do their own research, who know how to separate real news from fake news. And as such, they're ready to talk. Well, speaking of fake news, let's go to Jimmy at WABC for starters. Jimmy, you're kicking off the hour. Thanks for checking in. We were talking about the New York Times earlier, hiring this hack, Glenn Thrush. Oh, hack, that's what he referred to himself as in a WikiLeaks, where we now know he was in collusion with Team Hillary, like so many other journalists. Go ahead, Jimmy, you're on the air.
The New York Times and its writer, Walter Duranty, got the Pulitzer Prize for their reports coming out of the Soviet Union in 1932 and 33. But in an interview with Walter Duranty to the American ambassador to the Soviet Union, Walter Duranty admitted, "All the reports coming out of the Soviet Union are the opinion of Soviet authorities and not my own. The Soviets wrote their own reports. They covered up 10 million Ukrainians murdered by the Soviets through starvation." It's the Gordon Dispatch. It was stamped secret. This was revealed, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. So the New York Times has a history of altering reports. In this case, they let Stalin basically write the reports that Walter Duranty got the Pulitzer Prize for. And the New York Times supported Mao, supported Castro. So that Stalin, Mao, and Castro, the Times supported. They supported Clinton, and they supported Obama. So the New York Times has a bad history. It's the old gray lady is a slut. I think covering up the murder of the 10 million Ukrainians helped cause World War II because people were so terrified of the Soviets. Some of them viewed Hitler as a savior, which was a tragedy all around. So the New York Times history, and they won't give up the Pulitzer Prize. This is absolutely incredible.
Jimmy, it's the line of the day. On the Savage Nation, Jimmy's line is the line of the day. The old great lady is a slut. Thanks for checking in. Well, here's Trump. New York Times is talking about this. Washington Post is talking about this. ABC, NBC, blah, 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 blah. They're all talking about this. Russian hacking. Russian hacking. Folks, the Democrats just refuse to believe that Hillary lost. She spent we found this out today. She spent $1.2 billion between her campaign, the DNC, the various PACs. $1.2 billion. Donald Trump, including the money that he put in of his own, his $66 million, spent $600 million. Trump funded his campaign to the tune of a little over 10%. The Democrats outspent the Republicans. Hillary outspent Trump 2-1. And she lost big time. Big time. Big time. See, this is what businessmen do. They look at the playing field and think, okay, how can I do this with the least amount of money possible? And by the way, proving this point even further, after the election had concluded, Hillary had about $800,000 left in the bank. I mean, she blew the wad. Trump had almost $8 million in the bank. So somebody on Team Trump was very confident. They could have been spending every last penny to the very end, but somebody was very wise behind the scenes saying, you know, I don't think we need to spend any more money. I think we're good. I think we're good. Anyway, here's Trump on reports that the Russians were hacking into the DNC emails. It's the Russians' fault. It's the Russians' fault. This would be clip one, please.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just another excuse. I don't believe it. I don't know why. And I think it's just, you know, they talked about all sorts of things. Every week it's another excuse. We had a massive landslide victory, as you know, in the Electoral College. No, I don't believe that at all.
And, you know, does it really, to quote Hillary from a certain Benghazi hearing, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? The bottom line is the Democrats were outed as being corrupt. The media was outed as being in collusion with the Democrat Party and Hillary's campaign. I mean, it's all there. How about maybe we can blame it on, CNN forwarding questions for the debate to Hillary. See, no one wants to go there. Focus on the Russians. Focus on the Russians. So what's going on with that? Well, here's Reince Priebus. This is clip three. Of course, he's the chairman of the Republican Party, but now he's the guy that's going to be the chief of staff for Team Obama. Here he is talking about the hacking report.
The entire report is based on unnamed sources who are perhaps doing something they shouldn't be doing by speaking to reporters or someone talking out of line about something that is absolutely not true. The FBI we contacted the FBI months ago when the DNC issue came about. They've reviewed all of our systems. We have hacking detection systems in place. And the conclusion was then, as it was again 2 days ago when we went back to the FBI to ask them about this, that the RNC was not hacked. So here we are now debating and talking about a story based on something that isn't true.
It's fake news. It's fake news. Okay, Priebus makes another good point. Priebus was a guy I wasn't a big fan, just to be honest with you. I met him once here in California. I just wasn't a fan. But, you know, in his new role with Trump, I like what the guy's saying. For example, this. The Russians didn't force Hillary to ignore Wisconsin and Michigan. Folks, they ran a bad campaign. Clip four, please.
The Russians didn't tell Hillary Clinton to ignore Wisconsin and Michigan, okay? I mean, I know this is this insane analysis. She lost the election because her ideas were bad. Right. She didn't fit the electorate. She ignored states that she shouldn't have, and Donald Trump was the change agent, okay? Right. So this is all very interesting, but Donald Trump won in an electoral landslide that had nothing to do with the Russians.
No, had nothing to do with the Russians. Let's go to Brian, KUGN. Brian, thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. You're on the air. We're talking fake news. Oh, he's gone. Well, here he was about to talk about another fake news story. Hands up, don't shoot. I mean, that has become so mainstream that you've got NFL guys doing the hands up, don't shoot. Never happened. Never happened. It was a narrative created by the media. The media. Continuing. Oh, here's one of Savage's favorite guys, John McCain. He's talking about Trump's pick for Secretary of State. And, of course, Trump's pick for Secretary of State is the ExxonMobil guy. When I heard that the ExxonMobil guy was Trump's Secretary of State, I stepped back for a minute. I thought, okay, well, when you think about it, he knows more leaders around the world than probably anybody. But nonetheless, McCain doesn't like it. There must be an investigation. He says his pick for Secretary of State has a relationship with Putin. Listen to clip six.
Vladimir Putin is a thug and a bully and a murderer, and I believe that the relationship between Mr. Tillerson and Vladimir Putin needs to be examined.
Okay, note to McCain. If the relationship between Trump's pick for Secretary of State and Vladimir Putin needs to be elected, how about the relationship between Google and China? How about the relationship between Facebook and China? Because when Google and Facebook have gone into China, guess what? On their particular platforms, it's not freedom of speech. It's all about censorship. Maybe we just should talk to them. Give me a break. Should be investigated. Here's Reince Priebussen on this Tillerson nomination and his quote-unquote ties to Putin. This is clip five.
He's in the business of exploring and finding oil across the globe, and so you have to go where the oil's at. And the fact that he actually has a relationship with people like Vladimir Putin and others across the globe is something that shouldn't be embarrassed by. It's something that I think could be a huge advantage to the United States. Look, it doesn't mean we're not going to be tough across the world. It doesn't mean that we're not going to always put America first in everything we do. But we have big problems in this world. And I don't think we can solve these big problems by making believe that people don't exist. They exist. We have to talk to people.
You know, if we would have this Tillerson guy who's head of ExxonMobil, if he would have been Secretary of State, could you imagine this? When we had the Iraq War going on, who was Secretary of State then? Condoleezza Rice, was that it? We wouldn't have had this ridiculous, insane, stupid policy whereby we go in and we didn't get a drop of that oil. I know the left wanted to say it was all about oil. Guess what? At the end of the day, we didn't get a drop of that oil. In fact, when the contracts were finally doled out to determine who was going to help Iraq pull that oil to the ground, not one U.S. company got a contract. Come on, man. All that we spent in that country, and we didn't get one drop of oil? Are you kidding me? Doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, that's just me. Fake news. Fake news. Stephen, WABC, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Stephen, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. Good afternoon to you. For me, the start of fake news, and I guess you could also call it cover-up news, started big time during the Clinton administration when Bill Clinton needed to cover up things happening with Monica Lewinsky, and they bombed supposedly a factory making bombs in Africa, and it turned out that the location was just making aspirin or something like that. But
right.
That's for me the start of fake news.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly well. And think of all the diversions they had to create in order to keep everybody's eyes off of what Bill Clinton was doing in the Oval Office. Stephen, thanks for your call. WABC New York, always a pleasure. So Brian Sussman filling in on the Savage Nation. Dr. Michael Savage is going to be back tomorrow, and I'll be back in just a few on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Savage. Mike's back tomorrow behind the mic. Mike behind the mic tomorrow. I love the callers on the Savage Nation. You guys are the greatest. 855-400-7282. And the callers dovetail nicely into all that we've been talking about. So if you're just tuning in, we'll catch up really quick. We've been talking about fake news. Fake news. The left is all up in arms about fake news. I'm sure they would say, you know, much of what you hear on this program is fake news. My program on KSFO in San Francisco, fake news. MichaelSavage.com, fake news. WorldNet Daily, fake news, etc. Jack, checking in from WBOB in Florida. Jack, you're on the air. It's a pleasure speaking with you. Go ahead.
Thank you. The pleasure as well. I just wanted to say it's amazing how the left is so up in arms about fake news when for 10 years they got their news off of Jon Stewart and The Daily Show.
Jack, it's hilarious because I was talking with Savage's producers about this very issue before this show began. For years, The Daily Show, that's where all the elites, the smart people got their news from. I mean, that was as phony baloney as anything.
Oh, yeah.
But Jack, yeah, that's great. I love it. Jack, thanks for checking in. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, now we go to Travis, WAAV, North Carolina. Another thing we've been talking about are the hacked emails. The left wants to make you believe that this is all the job of the Russians and we need an investigation into this. But they're missing the point. Travis, make the point for us. Thanks for calling.
No problem, Brian. Really enjoy your sit-in for Michael Savage. But the whole point is, maybe the Russians hacked the emails, maybe they didn't. But here's the thing that nobody's really looking at. The Russians didn't write the emails. The DNC wrote the emails. Hillary Clinton and her followers and supporters and campaign, they wrote the emails. If the Russians hacked it, all they did was expose it to the American people. They made it. So how can
it
fake news? How can
it fake the Russians? Right, and so, you know, you're right. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but it's what is in the emails that is damning, right, Travis?
Exactly, and that's the whole point that these blind, blue-blood, left liberals can't see. And I can say that with affection because I was for many years a hard-wing, left-wing, blue-blood liberal. Come to speak of it, I got a meeting coming up tonight for Liberals Anonymous, so I got to get ready.
All right, get out of here. Thanks for checking in. All right, then you know, they blamed it on everything. One of the blames has been, well, the voting machines. Here's Todd, WTMA. Todd, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. Let's talk about the voting machines.
Thanks for having me. Well, I have one thing to say about fake news. We all remember the quote-unquote Benghazi video, right? So that's all I'm going to say about fake news. Now, you know, McConnell, Lindsey Graham, the whole bunch of those guys that are here now, They're gone. Okay, that's part of the swamp. So what they're doing with this bipartisan group that wants a further investigation, they're irrelevant. All right, my third point. You can go back to the Kennedy administration. You can go back to the Nixon administration. We've always had foreign leaders make their point about who they want to be supportive of when we have elections. It's nothing new. It's just that we're in a digital age. We have emails. We have hacking. Get used to it. There's going to be more of it coming. So that's all you have to say. But
that's all you have to say, and you said it well on this, the Savage Nation. Thanks, Todd, for checking in. Well, there you go. That's just a nice little summary of what we've been talking about for almost the last hour and a half here on the Savage Nation. But wait, there's more. We're going to talk a little bit more this afternoon, wherever you may be in the time zone. Who knows? Maybe you're listening to a podcast. Could be the next day. Let's talk about the economic plans that Trump's putting forward, because I think they're really going to benefit America, including millennials. Okay? So we'll talk about that. Look forward to your calls as well. Brian Sussman, pleased to be filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on this, the Savage Nation. Don't forget, michaelsavage.com, that's where I go daily to get a great dose of the news. And don't forget, Scorched Earth, I've got a copy in my hands right now, Restoring the Country After Obama. This is by Michael Savage. It remains a tremendous read now that Trump's won. On top of that, you have Teddy and Me, which is just a nice feel-good book about Michael's book, Dog Teddy. You can get them both at michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. Of course, the phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Well, let's continue here. The hit parade. All the sound. Let's just continue. Loretta Lynch, she's our Attorney General. Well, she's real qualified for that post, isn't she? She was at a mosque today talking about hate crimes. A mosque talking about hate crimes. She's talking about the latest statistics, showing the number of hate crimes increasing. Here she is in clip 10, please. Clip 10, Loretta Lynch.
But perhaps most troublingly of all, it showed a 67% increase in hate crimes committed against Muslim Americans. This is the highest total of anti-Muslim incidents since 2001. When 9/11 itself spurred so many reprehensible acts. And we know that there are many more hate crimes in communities, in all communities across this country, that go unreported.
So what about the hate crimes committed by Muslim Americans? I'm thinking about everything from San Bernardino to the Boston bombers and then some. What about those crimes? Why isn't she talking about that? You know, maybe there really have been some quote-unquote hate crimes committed against Muslim Americans, but what about the heinous, horrid, awful mass murders committed by Muslim Americans in this country? Why aren't we talking about that? I mean, if she wants to really give us the full scenario, it seems like while she's at that mosque, it would be an excellent opportunity to give them a little what for. I mean, what about the story that we talked about in the first hour here on the Savage Nation? We were talking about the refugee program in this America, in the United States of America, which is insane. Our refugee program here in the United States is insane. It started in the 80s with Carter, and it's continued ever since, and it's out of control. And I really and truly believe that Trump's going to put an end to this, given the guy that he's selected to become the Department of Homeland Security chief. General Kelly, this guy is righteous, and he's been talking about our immigration process for a long time. But the bottom line is, we vet improperly. We vet for terrorism. First of all, the vetting is only as good as the records you have when one's undergoing a background check. And the records we have from people coming from these countries of interest in the Middle East are sparse, if at all. So they come to this country, and how do we vet them? The Department of Homeland Security vets them based upon their ties to terror. Well, maybe they don't have a tie to terror, but they believe that Sharia is supreme to the Constitution of the United States. Stop the press. They should not be allowed in. Unless we're going for suicide. You want suicide? You want the death of the American ethos? Bring them in. So, that in mind, why isn't Loretta Lynch talking about the crimes being committed by Muslims in this country? For example, we talked about the situation in the first hour up in Twin Falls, Idaho. Bunch of kids do terrible things to a five-year-old disabled girl. It's all on cell phone video. That story has never been widely reported. It's buried because it doesn't fit the template. Oh, we only bring in the good refugees, only the nice ones. We know how to vet our people. We do it right. We do it better than Germany. We do it better than Sweden. We do it better than France. We do it better than Belgium. Oh, do we? Oh, do we? Continuing with the sound parade here on the Savage Nation. Well, here she is talking about Loretta Lynch at the mosque today, talking about the recent eruption of divisive rhetoric. Yeah, you want divisive rhetoric? It's coming from people like her. Clip 13.
So many Americans are feeling uncertainty, are feeling anxiety, are feeling fear, frankly. As we witness this recent eruption of divisive rhetoric, as we note the hateful deeds that we've been talking about, and I know that many Americans are wondering, are they in danger simply because of the way they look or where they pray?
Okay, stop the press right there. Yes, I would say the same thing. Are you in danger because of the way you look? Are you a white male who's a Christian? You're in the crosshairs big time. Continuing, here's Joe Biden. Ah, Joe Biden. Joking Joe. Boy, what are we going to do without this guy? He was just the biggest gaffe machine. Joe Biden's talking about the leaders of the Democrat Party here. He's on CNN. He said, the leaders of the Democrat Party, Obama, Pelosi, Schumer, and me. Clip 15.
Like after every presidential election where the party loses, there is no single leader. There are voices that hopefully be heard. Hopefully I'll be able to have a voice in the direction of the party. The President of the United States will. Obviously Chuck Schumer will. Obviously Nancy Pelosi will. There's going to be governors that are going to emerge. And so it's a contest of ideas as to which direction to take the party.
Okay, so the leaders of the party, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden. Can we just, for the sake of simplicity, call them the Geritol 3 going forward? The Geritol 3, ladies and gentlemen. If that's the best they can do, bring it on. Keep them coming. These people are so out of touch. And this is why Hillary lost big time. Or as Donald would say, bigly, bigly. It's because they ran an old school campaign and they spent lots and lots of money, wasted lots and lots of money, like liberal politicians tend to do, and quite frankly, a lot of Republican politicians do the same thing, wasted money on a ridiculously old-school campaign with a tired, worn-out, unappealing candidate, oh, I'm a sexist, oh, so be it, who didn't have a message. What was Hillary's message? Forward. I don't even know what that means. Forward. Forward. Okay, here's Joe Biden. I love this. This is just, again, this is classic, classic liberal politician. He's on CNN saying he's going to stay in politics because he doesn't know what else to do. Clip 18.
I'm interested in having a platform where I can have a sufficient number of key staff persons who will continue to help me fight for the things I care about, whether it's promoting fighting against violence against women or promoting Central America growth and development. Not for money, but actually to have a platform to be able to make the case. And I think at least I'll have a shelf life of a little bit. I know that... You know, my dad, I'll always quote my dad, I know, but he said, it's a lucky person gets up in the morning, puts both feet on the floor, knows what they're about to do, and thinks it still matters. I've been doing this since I've been 26. I don't know what else to do.
You don't know what else to do because you don't have any marketable skills outside of politics and being a creepy lech. In my opinion, here's Rob, WJR in Michigan. So we're just talking about Loretta Lynch giving us all a tongue-lashing on how we're so hateful. Thanks for calling, Rob. You're on The Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make the comment because I haven't heard anybody really mention this. But it's my recollection that Loretta Lynch was also an appointee of Bill Clinton. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, you're right. Oh, these people have been, they've been recycled through numerous administrations, Rob.
Yes, and can I make one comment about Joe Biden?
Sure.
I don't know if anybody's commented this, but I believe the Refugee Act of 1980, which I believe you mentioned earlier, was signed by, of course, Jimmy Carter. That was the child of Teddy Kennedy and Joe Biden.
Hey, Joking Joe. Thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. Here's Obama. You ready for Obama? Another scare tactic. Boy, these people, you know, they love their fake news, don't they? Another scare tactic. If Congress repeals Obamacare, 30 million Americans will lose their health care coverage. Ready for this? Clip 19.
One new study shows that if Congress repeals Obamacare as they've proposed, nearly 30 million Americans would lose their coverage. 30 million.
Come on.
4 in 5 of them would come from working families. More than 9 million Americans who would receive tax credits to keep insurance affordable would no longer receive that help. That's unacceptable. We can work together to make the system even better. And one of the best ways to do that is make sure that you're in it.
There you go. There's more fake news for you, Mike. This is a total scare tactic. Listen, if they're able to repeal Obamacare, and I think they'll be able to do it quite easily, they will consider a new plan that makes sure that those 30 million Americans have access to health care. There won't be any droppage of their coverage. Nothing like that. And trust me when I tell you. They're not stupid. I don't know what they're going to do to shore this thing up. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of their repeal and the replace. But 30 million people aren't going to lose their coverage. Scare tactic. I would label that fake news. But that's just me. How about you, Mike, WABC? Mike checking in on the Savage Nation. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling from New Jersey. I'd like to make a couple of points. First, on fake news. The classic example of the fake news is the WikiLeaks stating that the Democratic operatives were being sent into Trump rallies to foment violence. And then when they start violence, it's reported on the news that there's violence at Trump rallies.
Right.
Don't get more class than that. And as far as Loretta Lynch and these the spike in hate crimes, I did 30 years in law enforcement, and we found that the vast majority of these hate crimes were the people doing it themselves to either lawsuits, things like that, or elicit sympathy. And you were going to find that the vast majority of these alleged hate crimes, people drawing swastikas, things like that, are people doing it themselves in order to elicit sympathy or simply to push forward that agenda.
Exactly. And how many stories have we seen in recent weeks and months where that indeed was the case? This has happened on a couple of University of California campuses where people come up with these crazy stories that they were abused either physically or verbally by some, you know, white redneck who was a Trump supporter. And then upon further questioning, you find out, whoa, that really didn't happen. And that story just goes away so fast.
Right. And frankly, I'm a registered independent. I was not 100% Trump guy. But that is the only thing the Democrats have is a race issue. Continue to pound this race issue. Pound away, pound away, pound away. Keep people in fear. They get 90% of the black vote. And they are so afraid that if they lose that, they have nothing. And the only way they can keep that is through fear.
I'm with you. Appreciate you checking in, Mike. WABC, listening from New Jersey on this, The Savage Nation. Again, go to michaelsavage.com for all the latest news. And we'll pick through some of those news stories in just a couple of minutes. We'll take more of your calls as well. Always a pleasure. It's always an honor. Brian Sussman filling in. Michael's back tomorrow on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage, who's back tomorrow. Phone number, looking forward to talking to you, 855-400-7282. MichaelSavage.com right now. Some interesting stories, like this one. The Vatican is calling on priests to be highly sensitive to the climate crisis. So the Pope is putting out the word to Catholics, the priests, for starters, to realize that there is concern over man-caused global warming. I'm just curious, what happens if you're one of these priests who doesn't agree? Do you just have to go, you know, with the company line? I mean, the Pope is the leader of the Catholic Church. And then what about the members of the congregation? Now, this is something that doesn't resonate well with a lot of Catholics. Like, for example, Felicia, who's calling from WDRC in Connecticut. Hey, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Well, Brian, I'm glad to speak with you. A bunch of the women were talking at church this morning, and they were too polite to disagree with the Pope. But given his background from the Third World, and he probably has no love for capitalism, this makes me very unsettled and very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it really, at the end of the day, I've written about this extensively in one of my books, Eco-Tyranny, but this is a plan, this is the left's golden key to turn the world towards socialism and redistribution. So indeed, given his third world background, he's never been in the private sector working, I think you may be onto something here for sure.
You're doing a wonderful job for Mega Mike.
Mega Mike. Hey, thanks for checking in. But really, what do you do if you're a good-hearted, God-fearing Catholic person who goes to church every Sunday, and this is the edict coming down from the very top? I mean, it's, what do you do? It's interesting. And then what do you do if, I mean, we've got another caller here also, interestingly, from Connecticut, who has another religion-related question. But what if you're a Muslim in this country who says, listen, I'm not a terrorist. I believe the Constitution is superior to anything, including Sharia. So you're a Muslim who's in this country, and you don't believe in Sharia law. You believe in God, in this particular case, Allah, but you're not into the Sharia thing. What do you do? And what do you do when it comes to terrorists amongst your community at large? Bill's checking in from Connecticut, WDRC. Bill, go right ahead. You're on this. Well, I think we've got the nice, wonderful sounds of Bill's pocket. Phone in pocket, that's what it sounds like. Bill, you had one job. And you didn't quite make the cut on the Savage Nation. All right, so those are some of the things we're talking about. Well, what I'd love to get into in the next hour, there's a fascinating story out today, New York Post. The American dream is pretty much dead. Is it? Is it? Has the American dream at least taken a kick in the shorts? We're going to talk about this with you, members of the Savage Nation. Always a pleasure. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Actually, the Hall of Famer is back tomorrow. That would be Michael Savage. He's back tomorrow, filling in Brian Sussman. Of course, we share the same home station. Michael Savage's flagship station is KSFO in San Francisco. And, of course, he's the guy that really built that station. I was listening to him in the mid-90s when he first started. Borders, language, culture. That was the theme then, as it remains today. He's back tomorrow. I host the morning show there with my friend, colleague, and sidekick, Katie Green. Question for you. The American dream. We'll get to all the news of the day. Trust me, I will unpack it all for you in just a moment. We'll take your calls, and we look forward to that. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. MichaelSavage.com is the website you always need to check out. And don't forget his newsletter. You can sign up at MichaelSavage.com for the newsletter. And you can purchase a copy of, just in time for the holidays, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, and Teddy and Me, the book about his dog. The American dream, says the New York Post, is pretty much dead. Do you agree or not? I think the American dream is going to get a big lift with Trump as president. I'm looking at the people he's hiring into his cabinet. These are all business people that know how to succeed, and I can't believe they would want anything less for the people of this country. Let's do things to make it possible for people to succeed. I'm looking at the guy, for example, that is going to possibly run the Department of Labor, the guy that is the CEO of Hardee's and Carl's Jr. I mean, what we need as Secretary of Labor is a guy who has hired laborers. We don't need activists. The guy running the show right now is an activist. He's a lawyer activist. I want people who have hired. I want people who have built companies. I want people who have met payroll. That's what I want. That's going to make everybody great. New York Post, today's 30-year-olds are making way less money than their parents did when they were their age, a new study shows. That's the first line of the story. Now I go to the second line and I'm having problems. Because clearly there's an agenda here to make you believe that, oh, it's bad and it's never going to become great again. So these are economists and sociologists from Stanford, Harvard, and the University of California. Likely people who have never worked a day in the private sector in their lives. Likely people who have never hired, never sadly had to fire, never had to endure the pains of owning a business. Trust me, my wife and I have owned several businesses, several small businesses. And we've had to we've hired and we've had to, in some sad cases, fire. And we've had to meet payroll. And you have to grow a business and you have to put up with customers and you have to put up with internal squabbling between your employees. And can I tell you, as a small business person, many of you know this because you are small business people, it's a never-ending job. It's 24/7. It's 24/7. A friend of mine wanted to buy a small business recently. I said, are you ready for this? Because don't plan on weekends. Vacations, you're always working. It's tough out there. So I'm looking at the schmoes that put this study together. I'm guessing they've never done that before. They're just academics who are basically working after working on grants. So what they found was, this is the very first story, today's 30-year-olds are making way less money than their parents did when they were the same age. Second sentence, economist and sociologist from Stanford, Harvard, and the University of California, analyzed tax and census data recently and found that 51% of 30-year-olds have earned more dough than their mothers and fathers did when they were in their shoes. Okay, so now you're telling me, first you tell me it's hopeless, then you're telling me, wait, the first line of my story was wrong. What they're saying here is that most 30-year-olds in the United States are doing better than their parents did. And yet the title of the article is The American Dream is Pretty Much Dead. What is wrong with this picture? See, folks, that's a fake news headline. Okay, so now, but they're decrying that. Well, 49% aren't. 51% are doing better than their parents at the same age. 49% aren't. And so what's the factor? What's the reason? One major factor was the issue of income inequality. Income inequality. Next sentence. We have a stagnation in the middle class. When you're in that situation, it becomes very hard for children to do better than their parents. So they're admitting that most 30-year-olds are doing better than their parents did at the same age, but then they're decrying this other 49%. And you know what? I will agree. I will agree, because they say most of this, where most 30-year-olds earn less than their parents did at the same age, is in the Midwest. Okay. And how did Trump do in the Midwest? He did huge in the Midwest. He did huge in the Rust Belt. All the states where they said, he'll never win. Why did he win? Because in those states, their economy's been decimated by this federal government. Their economy's been decimated by rules and regulations and laws that make it very, very difficult to compete, to start a business, etc. I'm looking at those industries that have the potential to provide so many jobs. Everything from oil and gas, to mining, to logging, to manufacturing. Guess what? When we can get those jobs back, when we can dismantle the EPA so some of these ridiculous, unsound, do-nothing-but-kill-jobs regulations can get wiped off the map, when we can get somebody in there with a brain in their head who's actually, I can't wait to see who's going to pick to be in charge of Department of Interior. Maybe that's a place for Sarah Palin. She knows a little bit about that. Seriously. You know, she's kind of kooky in a lot of ways, but I got news for you. This is a woman who was a governor of a state, but if you just want to ax that, this is the woman who was involved in the oil industry in her state, which produces a lot of oil. This is a woman who has done commercial fishing, probably knows a heck of a lot about commercial logging, probably even knows a little bit about mining, because her state does some of that too. If we could get somebody in there to unleash our people and our resources, that would be a great thing. I mean, do you know who is in the crossfire of, the Obama administration has been doing their damnedest, and it started actually with the Clinton administration, and it was staved off a bit by the Bush administration, a bit. But farmers and ranchers in this country, they are in the absolute crosshairs. There is a movement being run by radical environmentalists to get rid of the farmers and the ranchers in this country because they see them as an invasive species. So I'm reading this article, the number of 30-year-olds who earn less than their parents is higher in the Midwest. Well, guess what? I can actually agree with that. But what's the answer? So I'm looking at these academic dweebs who put this study together. They told, I'm reading this in the New York Post, but they're saying that the reason, or the solution is taxing the wealthy more and giving bigger tax breaks to the middle class. That would ultimately help get Americans out of the rut. What he's proposing is simple redistribution, and that's not going to do anything. We need to redo how the game is played in this country, beginning with rules and regulations that make it very tough, first of all, to start a business, then to maintain a business, then to grow a business. We need to get rid of the rules and regulations that make it very difficult to manufacture in this country. We used to be the king of steel fabrication. Now where is our major fabrication being done for big projects in the United States? It's all being done in China. And folks, I've talked to the people involved in that. It's an absolute disaster. We had this Bay Bridge built here in San Francisco. We rebuilt the Bay Bridge. after the 1989 earthquake. We finally finished this thing a couple years ago. It is the most expensive public works project in the history of the world. It started out, well, it's going to be under $1 billion. Now with financing, that thing is something like $17 billion. $17 billion bridge with financing. $17 billion. And the steel that was used to construct that bridge, there have been story after story in the San Francisco Chronicle, some pretty darn good reporting, it's not fake news, good reporting, about how crappy the steel is and how crappy the construction process was. That's what you get, for starters, when you get your steel fabricated in a country like China. Now, why can't we do it here in the United States? If we could change some of the rules, the regulations, the environmental laws, we could. And you know what? We'll do it better than the Chinese, and we'll do it with less pollution than the Chinese. That's what we need to be doing in America. Now, let's go to the lines of the Savage Nation. I've done enough talking. Now it's time to hear from you. You've got one job. Come in and come in strong. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Carl, KSFO. Carl, thanks for checking in. You're on the air. Go right ahead, please.
Hi. You know, the American Dream was a term used by, propaganda term used by socialists during FDR's presidency. And it was pitched that the government can basically help you reach the American Dream. And these are all the ways that the government is going to help you reach the American Dream. So a lot of people don't know that about that term, and it is used quite often, but it originated with propagandists during the FDR presidency.
Right. You know, so, I mean, think about this, Carl, and I appreciate your call here on the Savage Nation. Here's how you get the American Dream, and I believe, from what I'm seeing, this is what the Trump administration will do. Get the federal government out of the way. Get them, the government's not the solution, they're the problem. Get them out of the way. Reduce regulation. Make it easier to start a business, grow a business. Make it easier to harness our nation's natural resources. Make it easier for the manufacturing to be done in the United States of America. So I'm with you on that. Thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. Let's see if we can squeeze one more story in. Fake news versus real news. Ben calling from PA, WSBA in Pennsylvania. Ben, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. I have a comment about, I believe that with Hillary losing, I believe that it's the real news that made her lose. I think the fake news story is just a diversion. We've got plenty of real news. We've got Benghazi and the emails and pay-to-play. That's enough to make her lose. We don't need fake news. The real news made her lose.
The real news made her lose, and you're a winner on the Savage Nation. Ben, thanks for checking in. Brian Sussman filling in. We'll have more for you on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage, who's back on tomorrow. And I will be listening right along with you. So we're talking about a number of items in the news. Fake news. What is fake news? See, this is another term that's been created by the left. It's just like that last caller in the Savage Nation noted. The American Dream was a term coined by the left. And the whole idea is that government can make your life better. Let's all dream the dream. We'll help you achieve all that you desire. Whereas I'm reminded of another great president, a certain Ronald Reagan, who said government's not the solution, it's the problem. It's the problem. And I'm hoping with this Trump administration, they're going to clear out a lot of the crap and a lot of the dreck that has clogged up the pathway to freedom in this country and opportunity and liberty by getting rid of these ridiculous rules and regulations that have so stifled us. But what is fake news? I mean, initially, fake news, you could have said, was The Daily Show. I mean, when Jon Stewart announced he'd be stepping down as host of The Daily Show in 2015, there were a number of articles lamenting the loss of, quote, fake news and the fake news man. For example, Time magazine ran a story with the headline, Jon Stewart, the fake news man who made a real difference. What about The Onion? What about The Daily Current? Those are hilarious publications. But it's interesting we're talking about this because Ron Paul has a piece out today on this very issue. And I'm just going to read a couple sentences from the former congressman's column that I'm reading here. It says, "A major threat to liberty is the assault on the right to discuss political issues, seek out alternative information sources, and promote dissenting ideas. If this ongoing assault on free speech succeeds, then all of our liberties are endangered." Listen, what they're doing is there anybody who has a contrarian point of view and they see the world through a conservative lens, fake news, fake news. I'm sure people, you know, these leftist critics would look at Michael Savage's book like Scorched Earth, fake news. I'm sure they look at this radio show, fake news, and some of the websites associated with all of our lives. The Drudge Report, fake news, even though, isn't it interesting? Drudge is just an aggregator of content. He so rarely brings forth anything original. All he does is send you to links. All he does is link up news stories all over the world that are very intriguing, fascinating, etc. But here's the deal. Fake news, real news. If we taught our kids, if we taught people in this country, beginning in kindergarten, how to critically think, we wouldn't have a problem. You'd be able to quickly decipher what's real, what's not real. What's real, what's not real. I mean, nowadays, my gosh, if you even fancy a conspiracy theory for just a moment, oh, fake news, you're a crazy alt-righter. The problem is in our schools, we don't teach them how to critically think, do we? Instead, we teach them what to think, not how to think. If we would teach them properly how to think instead of filling their skulls with a bunch of rhetoric that they're able to so easily spew out at the drop of a hat, we'd have a different game. You'd be able to decipher for yourself what's real, what's not real. Do your own research. But I like what Ron Paul is saying in this particular article. The last and potentially most dangerous threat to the First Amendment, he says, is the war on fake news. Those leading the war are using a few viral internet hoaxes to justify increased government regulation and even outright censorship of internet news sites. Some popular websites, such as Facebook, are not waiting for the government to force them to crack down on fake news. They're just going for it on their own. Those calling for bans on fake news are working to create a government-sanctioned gatekeeper. That's a phrase, by the way, coined by Hillary Clinton. With the power to censor any news or opinion displeasing to the political establishment. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage, who is back tomorrow here on The Savage Nation. So just a moment ago, we were talking about fake news and the efforts by the federal government under this administration to act as the gatekeeper of news. What's real news? What's fake news? Many social media outlets like Facebook are already undergoing their own campaign to censor what they believe is fake news, scour it from the internet. But now we've got the federal government who is also wanting to get involved. And for such a time as this, do we have a new administration who I pray will not be involved in that at all? Fake news, real news. It's up to the consumer. A little critical thinking goes a long way. And I contend we're just not teaching critical thinking in our schools today. I believe more than anything else we're teaching these kids what to think, not how to think. Now, it's possible that Anthony in Dallas, listening on KLIF, may disagree with me. Anthony, former public school teacher, talk to us about this on The Savage Nation.
Well, thank you for having me. As I'm a first-time caller. Yeah, I'm a retired public school teacher, 34 years, taught middle school and high school. And I normally don't listen to this program. It's just sort of channel flipping, station flipping, and I heard your comment about education and the fact that we don't teach critical thinking in the context of fake news and teaching kids how to discern the truth. I'm wondering what the basis of your opinion is.
Well, the basis of my opinion is having raised four children who have gone through the education system, and I watched this firsthand. Now, maybe, you know, Anthony, to be honest, maybe it's just California different from the rest of the nation. And we know in so many ways that is the case, but I don't see it here. I see kids being well-trained in rhetoric, and they can spew out answers to a variety of questions. But you get beyond that answer, and they really don't know what they're talking about. And then I see it in their lives when they graduate from school, and in so many cases, they're just not capable of making decisions. And this isn't across the board, but in so many cases, they're not able to make the decisions necessary to really move forward in life and become a successful, independent, self-sufficient individual.
Well, we probably agree more than it seems. I've seen a lot of kids graduate from school that are influenced the way you describe. But in my own experience in teaching thousands of kids over several decades, mm-hmm. is that the majority of them are coming out in pretty good shape. And like you said, it might be California, it might be your specific school district, it might be the specific teachers within that school district. But I do take exception to the blanket statement that our public schools are not doing this, and that's the problem. I think fake news is terrifically dangerous. And
so let's do this, Anthony. Let's define fake news. What is fake news? Is it simply The Daily Show? Is it The Onion? Or is it something else?
It's a fairly new phenomenon. I guess it can come in many forms. You know, the biggest headline lately has been Clinton running this pedophile organization that the pizzeria in D.C. got shot up because of it, because someone believed it. That kind of fake news is dangerous. That individual who shot up that pizzeria obviously wasn't able to discern truth from falsehood.
Right, and Pizzagate, as it's being called, is one of the recent flurry of stories that suggests that the core problem facing this nation is fake news. But what about the fake news, for example, hands up, don't shoot? I mean, that was proven to have never taken place in St. Louis, Ferguson to be specific, and yet the media ran with that, and to this day, I would guess most people in this country believed that the black man who was killed by the cops actually put his hands up and said, don't shoot.
Right. I agree with you on that one. That's a horrifically awful story. That is a false narrative. I think a lot of news organizations have owned up to that being a false narrative. I think the Black Lives Matter movement has not owned up to it.
Right. No, you're right. Listen, I appreciate your point of view calling in from Dallas.
Yeah.
And this educational issue, thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. It may indeed have to do with my state of California versus the state you live in. But nonetheless, this fake news narrative is growing and it's increasing. And the left, I mean, if Hillary were elected president, they would continue going after this tooth and nail. And there would be a censorship campaign done in the name of safety and sanity that would be horrendous. I mean, our First Amendment allows you to get away with a lot, including having your own opinion. You know, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, right? That includes the property between your ears. The property between your ears. This is a wild one. This just came over the transom. So now we have an ex-Philadelphia congressman. My, my. Getting 10 years for corruption. Former U.S. representative and Democrat at that. Now, see, this speaks volumes. You got to hear the whole story here. It just came over the wires. Chaka Fatah is his name. He had 435 of these people in the Congress. I never heard of Chaka Fatah. I've heard of Chaka Khan, but never Chaka Fatah. Chaka Fatah was sentenced Monday to a 10-year prison term by a judge who said he was astonished that this veteran legislator would steal government funds and charity funds to pay his son's debts and buy a vacation home. My goodness. Now, isn't it interesting, just the headline alone, it's the AP headline, ex-Philadelphia congressman gets 10 years for corruption. If he were a Republican, it would have read like this, ex-Republican congressman. But you got to read down through the story to find out he's a Democrat. Now, what does that say about the news biz? Might there be a little bias, do you think, huh? Kind of, sort of, huh? Fatah, a Democrat who was born into a family of black activists in West Philly, spent 2 decades in Congress working on housing, education, gun control, and other issues of concern to the left. Ooh, his wife was a TV anchorwoman. Between the two of them, they were bringing in over $500,000 a year. Yet somehow, this genius had some financial problems. He tried to run for mayor in 2007. Was running through the family money. I don't know if it was for his campaign or just his lavish lifestyle. Not sure. But he took an illegal $1 million loan from a friend. And then the friend called the debt. And he's being sentenced today, said, but I've helped tens of millions of people. Yeah, that's just like Hezbollah. But look at all the good work they do. Jeez. The jury found that he took the $1 million loan. Are you ready for this? Talk about cronyism. He took a $1 million loan from the chairman of Sallie Mae. Sallie Mae is the Student Loan Corporation. He returned $400,000 of it and repaid some of the rest with federal grant money that he had steered into an educational nonprofit run by one of his former aides. Oh, this guy was corrupt. He thought he'd get away with this? Is he stupid? Is this the best we can do in Congress? Especially you Democrats. Aren't you just ashamed? How many Democrats are currently in prison in this country who used to be in public office? The nonprofit efforts, okay, so he stole money from this, stole federal grant money from a nonprofit. The nonprofit included a NASA-funded mobile science classroom emblazoned with Fatah's name that roamed around Philadelphia when he was running for mayor. It was helping promote his political career, which is illegal. Fatah was also ordered today in court to repay $600,000 to Sallie Mae and NASA for use of this mobile science classroom. What a dunce. Here's what the judge said. This is Judge Harvey Bartle. For someone so interested in advancing education for the disadvantaged, you had the temerity to steal from the Educational Advancement Alliance, that's a nonprofit group supported by federal funds. While you say you've done much good, you've also engaged in grave and widespread criminal activity. Oh, but there's more. Listen to this. Fatah used the money on campaign and personal expenses as well. Personal expenses, the jury found. He also put $23,000 in nonprofit funds towards his son's college loans. And he took $18,000 in a bribe to try help a friend become an ambassador. Wow. And he's just one of the ones who got caught. By the way, the congressman's son, so the apple didn't fall far from the tree at all. Listen to this. The congressman's son is serving a 5-year prison term in an overlapping fraud case that went to trial last year. Chip Fatah Jr., actually is Chaka Fatah Jr., nicknamed Chip, Chaka Fatah. Chaka Fatah Jr. was convicted of fraudulently obtaining business loans to fund his jet-set lifestyle. Wow. Maybe some of you in the Philly area know who this guy is. I've never heard of him before. So, former Democratic congressman gets 10 years for corruption. All right, back to the lines on the Savage Nation. Another thing that we've been talking about this set today is the Pope. It's all at michaelsavage.com. The Pope has put out the word to the priests that, hey, guys, we need to start talking about global warming. We are stewards of this wonderful earth. And we need to get the truth out there regarding man-caused global warming. So I came up with a question earlier. It's like, okay, now what do you do if you're just a good God-fearing Catholic who goes to church and you're saying, I don't believe this stuff? What do you do? How do you deal with that? I mean, this is your church. I'm just curious, as someone kind of outside looking in. Brian WDRC in Connecticut. Hey, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hey, so I think your sentiments about Pope Francis are a little unfounded. Because, first of all, you look at Catholicism. Catholicism, first of all, is an extremely complex religion. And it does. But that theology you just quoted there, stewardship of the earth, is not just Catholic, it's biblical, okay?
Sure,
and,
of course.
And the assumption that, as conservatives, I understand, you know, climate change is disputed. There are experts on both sides of that issue in the scientific community who are for and against climate change. It's certainly not a settled issue, but pollution is a real thing. And I think this onslaught against Pope Francis by these radical conservatives is a little crazy. And on the other side of things, I think these liberals who are just claiming him as a man of the left are mistaken.
Well, I don't recall what you just said about conservatives, but the Vatican is calling on priests to be highly sensitive to the climate crisis. Okay, well, that's fine. He's the leader of that particular faith, so he can do that. But I'm just wondering, because you said something very interesting, it's not settled science. So he's mandating this from the very top, and I'm just curious how that's going to resonate with the entire church, including those who are skeptical of man-caused global warming.
No, see, the mistake that you're making is that the Catholic Church, the problem is that they don't get the proper media coverage, you see, because you're talking about a leader of a theological organization who is on another continent speaking in a different language. The language that he's speaking is not political. He's not suggesting that we should use the arm of the state to compel people to live simple lives. He's not a communist. He's not really not political. Not like people make him out to be. Now, him getting out there and saying, hey, you know, climate change is something to be concerned about, I mean, sure, that's debatable, but I mean, pollution is a real thing.
Oh, no, and there's a big difference between pollution and global warming, and I appreciate your call here on the Savage Nation. Thanks for checking in. To be sure, when you go to this article at michaelsavage.com, when you read further into this, we need to just look at this in its totality. Here's what the Pope says. Here I would state once more that the Church does not presume to settle scientific questions or replace politics, but I am concerned to encourage an honest and open debate so that particular interests or ideologies will not prejudice the common good. So he's encouraging debate on this particular issue, which is great. It's something I wish the left would allow for on a regular basis. It's something that Trump even this weekend said he's open to. You know, he has an open mind regarding global warming. But again, global warming, pollution, two different things altogether. No one's for dirty air. No one's for dirty water. Certainly nobody. And we've done the best job of anybody in the world regarding cleaning up our skies and cleaning up our water. And for that, we are a model. Is there more work to do? Absolutely. But we've done a darn good job. Brian Sussman in on the Savage Nation. More calls to come. Glad you're with us.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Sussman in for Savage. This comes to me from a friend, Lisa, who listens to this program, The Savage Nation. A guy looked at my Corvette the other day, a liberal guy, bleeding heart. Said, I wonder how many people could have been fed for the money that car cost. I replied, I'm not sure. But it sure fed a lot of families in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where it was built. Fed the people who made the tires. Fed the people who made the components. Fed the people in Decatur, Illinois, at Caterpillar, who made the trucks that haul all the copper ore, fed the people that pulled the copper ore out of the ground, too. It fed the trucking people who hauled it from the plant to the dealer. Fed the people working at the dealership and their families. But I have to admit, I don't really know how many people it fed. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the difference between capitalism and the welfare mentality. When you buy something, you put money in other people's pockets and give them dignity for their skills. When you give someone something for nothing, you rob them of their dignity and self-worth. Brian Sussman, proud to be filling in on this, the Savage Nation. My friend Michael Savage is back tomorrow.